The United States of Socialism. Who's behind it? Why it's evil? How to stop it? That's the title and subtitle of a new book by Dinesh D'Souza, who's a best-selling author. He's also a blockbuster filmmaker, and he joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dinesh, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Looking forward to it.
So what prompted you to write a book about socialism, other than Bernie Sanders, AOC, and some of the things going on in the this campaign season?
Well, I came, you know, I came to the United States at the age of 17 in the late 70s, and I saw the kind of collapse of socialism at the end of the 80s and early 90s. Reagan used the poignant phrase, the ash heap of history. We've left socialism on the ash heap of history. So, you know, it was a big surprise when in the 21st century, this discredited idea that was tried half, you know, across half the world in Russia and India and China suddenly made a comeback in the one place where we've never really had socialism, namely the United States. So I thought this is a momentous development. How did socialism not just arrive in America, but move into the American mainstream where it becomes sort of the governing ideology of the Democratic Party? So that's what prompted me to write the book. It was before coronavirus and the riots, although boy, are those a sort of a startling vindication of all the themes I write about in the book.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let me ask you this. Would you say that in effect, the big myth about socialism is the idea that we are the ones who can make it work? Okay, Stalin blew it, Fidel Castro blew it, Hugo Chavez blew it, but I, Bernie Sanders, I can make it work. You know, whatever. Or you fill in the name, and they're the ones who are going to make it work.
I mean, I agree that there's something preposterous about that. It would be almost as if somebody were to say, well, you know, guys, slavery was an excellent idea, but the implementation was always poor. This time, we're sure we're going to get it right. People would laugh. You think that person was insane.
Yeah.
And the reason you think they're, but people do say that about socialism, even though, very interestingly, all the great works on socialism, from George Orwell to Friedrich Hayek, depict socialism as a form of slavery.
Mm, that's a great point. Define socialism, because some people talk about it as if it's quote-unquote share and share alike.
Well, socialism has had a kind of evolution of meaning over the years. In its original meaning, it referred to these socialist communes. People, 100 people or 200 people, decided to live together and pool all their possessions. But of course, those were voluntary communities. That was the earliest form of socialism. Marxist socialism was the revolt of the working class. The working class gets so poor and angry that it overthrows the capitalist class and establishes a new type of society. Now, in the 20th century, what socialism came to mean typically for most countries was nationalization of industry. And so, for example, in India, my home country, the government took over the banks, the government took over the airlines, and so government began to run these major industries. I think a good way to think about socialism is like this. Think of the free market on the one end and complete government control on the other, and then look, see in which direction somebody is pulling. So all the Democrats right now, even Biden, are pulling in the socialist direction, away from the free market system, toward greater government control, but not just government control over your money, but also government control over your life.
What happened in India? As far as what you just described, did that ever change?
I remember, yeah, there are three things I remember as a kid that defined for me Indian socialism. Number one, our family had a ration card. And what that meant was that we could only buy a certain amount of oil, cooking oil, sugar, and rice every month. It was determined by the number of members in the family.
That's like wartime conditions.
Most Americans, this is really strange. But as you know, under coronavirus, we got a little glimpse of it, right? The store shelves are empty, and you can only buy, you know, two cartons of milk and two rolls of toilet paper. So Americans, on a temporary basis, got a feeling of what socialism is like on a permanent basis. The other thing I remember was corruption that filled all, you know, everyday life. And the third thing was our family was on a seven-year wait to get a phone.
To get a phone. You know, Reagan used to tell that joke about, you know, how in the Soviet Union you couldn't get any cars. And these were jokes that the you know, people from Russia would tell each other just to kind of ameliorate the misery and so forth, to deal with the misery. And so this one Communist Party member, he's good to get a car, and he does all the, you know, paperwork. He goes through all the hoops. He pays the money. And 10 years, he's going to get the car delivered. And the bureaucrat says, 10 years from now, comrade, you'll get the car. And he says, well, will that be in the morning or the afternoon? He said, comrade, that's 10 years from now. What do you care whether it's morning or afternoon? And he says, well, the plumber's coming in the morning. But, you know, it's just...
Oh, yeah. Just, no, I know the story well. But look, the truth of it is that even in America, if you look at government institutions, they kind of function like that. You know, you can think of socialism as all of America being run by the post office, or all of America being run by the DMV. So the post office, look, not that the people in the post office are bad, but here's the point. If it were up to the post office, to this date, they would never have thought of overnight delivery. Even though the airplane was invented 100 years ago, it would never have occurred to the post office that we can deliver mail overnight. So you need private companies like UPS and FedEx to do that. And then the post office goes, oh, wow, we can do that too. It just gives you an idea of how sluggish, uninventive, uncreative these government entities are. And the reason for it is they're just not motivated by profits or business or being efficient. They don't care about any of that.
You know, one of the big ways in which people like Bernie Sanders and AOC have been selling socialistic ideas is in reference to Medicare. Just taking that analogy you just gave, would it be that if we had, let's say, Medicare for all, or we had socialized medicine in America, we would see a lot less innovations in the health field?
Well, that's for sure. We would have that. Look, we don't have enough innovation now, and that's partly because the problem in the healthcare system, as with education, is that the price is too high because the customer himself is not paying. When you go to see the doctor and he says, I want to give you 17 tests, and you're like, well, I just have a stomach ache. Wouldn't one test, can't you use the most common test for people who have a stomach ache? But see, people don't say that because they know somebody else is footing the bill. So when somebody else is footing the bill, then the provider, whether the hospital or the university, has every reason to jack up the price. And that's really why our healthcare and education costs are so out of control. The solution is to move them more in a market direction.
Okay, the subtitle, the first part of the subtitle of your book, United States of Socialism, who's behind it? Okay, let's ask that question. Who's behind it?
Well, the point I want to make here is that it's not just the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party has powerful allies. It has the deep state, which is the police agencies of government. It has academia, which has become an indoctrination factory to a large degree. Yeah. It has the media, which has cast aside any pretense of objectivity. Yeah. It now has these roaming Antifa and Black Lives Matter thugs who constitute a kind of paramilitary on the street. Oh. So we've reached a rather dangerous situation, a situation in which our normal civility, our normal laws, even our normal democratic debate is hanging in the balance with digital censorship and all these forms of forced conformity that are making us, in a sense, publicly submit to ideologies that we don't approve of.
You know, Dinesh, one of the scariest things, of course, in all of human history is what happened where Germany, the nation that produced Martin Luther, Johann Sebastian Bach, Beethoven, would one day produce Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And, you know, think, oh, it could never happen here. But one of the statements that scares me so much, Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, said, history is made in the streets. And this is what's scary as we look at the riots in the streets. I hope America's not reaching some sort of tipping point here. I trust not, but your comments.
Well, Goebbels was a master propagandist, and I think he understood the power of symbolism. I was in Munich, my wife and I were in Munich in 2018 to make one of our earlier movies. And I was thinking about Germany in the 30s when German families would fly the swastika flag off their balcony, or they would do the Heil Hitler salute. And I thought to myself, what are they actually saying? I mean, Hitler's not there. What's the point of Heil Hitler? And then I realized that the point of it is actually not what you think. It doesn't actually signal the fact that these were devoted, committed Nazis. Basically, what they were saying is, I am a willing servant of this socialist ideology. Of course, Nazism being national socialism. What they're saying is, I am a worm. Don't expect any trouble out of me. My willingness to raise my right arm and go, Heil Hitler, shows that I am ultimately not going to be a troublemaker. You can count on me to do whatever you ask me to do. So that's the point of these rituals. Now, obviously, we're not doing Heil Hitler in this country, but what the left is trying to do when they basically say, take a knee, you know, bow down, kiss my feet, they're basically doing the same rituals of submission and humiliation, which are aimed at making us show that we are worms, that we are willing to subordinate ourselves to them. Now, look, none of this is to say, I mean, I agree that poor Mr. George Floyd got a bad deal. Mm-hmm. But what the protesters are doing is spinning out a much larger narrative that has come completely unhooked from that. And that narrative is that America is racist, capitalism is allied with white supremacy. This problem goes right back to 1619 when the first white man set foot on the continent. So you can agree that George Floyd got murdered and at the same time reject this larger narrative. But they pretend like if you reject the larger narrative, then you don't care about poor George Floyd. So that's the sleight of hand that I'm objecting to and I'm actually rather indignant about.
Hmm. A wise man once said this, I love America because in America, you can write your own script. And that was you in one of your movies. I love that line. And that's so true. Elaborate on that relate as opposed to socialism. Under socialism, can we write our own script?
No, that line in which I said basically that in America we are the architect of our own destiny. We can get to write the script of our own life. In America, your destiny isn't given to you. It is constructed by you. So this is the essence of anti-socialism. It's an expression of individualism, of freedom. And socialists hate this. That's why they're always eager to tell you that anything you've accomplished is not due to you. Anything you've accomplished, you've either gotten because of luck, or you've inherited it, or you don't deserve it, or your ancestors stole the resources that led to the making of it. So for the left, ultimately, the diminution of creativity, individuality, that kind of thing, innovation, that's the socialist impulse to crush those things. That's why, by the way, the looters, they're not going after bad cops. They're beating up small businessmen, including, by the way, black and Hispanic businesses.
Yeah.
Why? Because black lives don't really matter. What they're actually targeting is the spirit of entrepreneurship and innovation. That's their real enemy.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, where does Christianity fit in this discussion about socialism?
Well, the way Christianity comes in is that Christianity is all about an existing moral order. And inside of that order are certain institutions. There's the church, there's the family, there are civic institutions like the Little Leagues and so on. Now, the bottom line of it is that socialism isn't just economic. It's not just about redistributing income. Socialists, I think there was a Russian dissident, Igor Shafarevich, who always said socialists target three things: property, the family, and religion and the church. And they target these things with equal venom. So I don't think it was an accident that they tried to burn the church in Washington, D.C. Mm. I mean, they could have gone and burned Planned Parenthood if they were random looters. But no, it was not accidental they chose a church, because to them, the church symbolizes a moral order. And ultimately, socialism is about wrecking that moral order.
Mm. Wow, that's amazing. Very well put. Okay, we have about a minute left to go. Go ahead and just say whatever you want to in this last minute, including, you know, the details about the book, like the overall outline.
Well, the book is called United States of Socialism, and it describes who the socialists are. It describes how we can effectively understand and refute them. But then it also concludes by saying how we can defeat them, how we can stop socialism from becoming the reigning ideology in this country. And there'll be a movie that comes out based on the book later this summer.
Great.
And I'm very excited about both. To me, the book is sort of the argument, the references, the ideas, and then the movie is a kind of narrative depiction of the same thing. I think at the end of the day, Americans are not going to submit to this. We will not become the United States of Socialism. And as an immigrant, I am very happy about that.
Wow. Dinesh D'Souza, always a pleasure. It's DineshD'Souza.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
And the last part of that is D-S-O-U-Z-A, no apostrophe. Thank you, Dinesh. All the best.
My pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.